You know, when you check your news websites, read the newspaper, however you find out what's going on in the world, it can be a pretty bleak picture. We've got words in our vocabulary that we hadn't even thought of a year ago. Ebola. There could be a breakout anywhere around us. The economy. You know, when's the last time you heard really good news about the economy? We want to latch onto our jobs a little bit more than we did before because the economy's not good. Then the climate's changing. The world is going to pot. We're in trouble. The sky is falling. It'd be very easy for all of us to be like this guy right here. There's plenty of things in the world to be worried about. The citizens of Paris had a tiger on the loose, or so they thought this last week. We all have fears that gnaw away at us. And some of the fears may be something real, and some of it can almost be imagined. Is my mic doing all right here? There we go. Fear. Is that better? Okay. Fear is really not all that bad.
It's right. Fear.
Hold on. Whoops. Am I okay here? I think I'm connected. All right. Can you all hear me? Fear is great as a warning system. If you see this in the water, you need to get out fast. How would you like to have been that in Massachusetts not too long ago? When you see that fin, you get out fast. Fear is a great warning system, but it's a terrible operating system. It's no way to live. Fear is wonderful for a momentary alert, but it's really bad to have it running all the time. You ever have your smoke detector go off and you just can't find where it is? You know, you've got them all over your house and then one of them is pinging and it's just that little ping that tells you the battery's loose, but it sounds like anywhere, and you go crazy trying to find it all over the house. There's no way to live when an alarm won't go off. Fear is an alarm, but when it becomes more than that, we get into trouble. Now, most of us don't go around living like Chicken Little, or at least we try not to look that way. But fear drives us to the primal reactions of flight or fight, avoidance or nastiness. Fear can ruin us. We may be able to mask the fear with other emotions, or maybe we cover it with a facade of toughness, but inside, the stress just gnaws away. The stress of knowing that any minute, the image you cultivate of yourself could disintegrate. The life we've wanted the public to see could go. Or maybe the stress gnaws at us that you may not have a job next year. Or maybe the stress gnaws at you that your health is wearing. Whatever it might be, we can have these little stressors that are driven by fear. And we experience all kinds of fears. But think about it. What do they all boil down to? What is it that scares us? Again, there's all kinds of specifics. But it really boils down to this. We fear that which is unknown. We don't like what is unknown. You know, some of the greatest amusement park rides are those where you never know what's going to come around the corner because you're on edge the whole time. We also fear that which we can't do anything about. It's beyond us. Great, I'm in trouble. I can't do anything about it. And we fear those things that are bigger than us, or at least that we see as bigger than us. So fear comes in many shapes and sizes, many different flavors, but really if it boils down to it, it's got one of these roots. It's either something we don't know or we don't know what to expect. It's something we can't do anything about. There's something that's bigger than us. In short, we fear whatever we can't control. When we're out of control, then fear kicks in. Now, the trouble is, the older you get, the more you realize that there's less things you can control. So if you want to live free of worry and anxiety, here are some of the options you've got. First, you can go into denial. But ignorance is bliss, right? We all know that comes crashing down. Denial didn't work. You can go into delusion. You can think that you're bigger and badder and better than you really are. But then reality will settle in on you. But there is a better way. There is a better way to deal with worry and fear and anxiety. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 8. It's pretty much in the middle of the Bible. It's a big book. There's about 66 chapters in it. So if you turn in the middle, you should get there. But we live in fear of the things that we can't control. But what if we feared the God who is in control more than the things that we can't control? Think about it. What if we feared the God who is in control more than the things that we can't control? But you know, unfortunately, there's a disconnect in church world. We don't seem to worship the same God Monday to Friday that we do on a Sunday morning. Think about all the things that we've sung today about how great God is and how powerful He is. But at the core of our being, too often, when we walk out of here, and then Monday to Friday when we were on our own, we forget about that. And the other things come in and put fear in our hearts and affect the way we live. So Monday to Friday, too often, we live as orphans, abandoned, in need of a new mic. That's all right.
We have a great AV team. Appreciate all you guys do. Now, the bad news for you guys is you got to listen to me. You couldn't hear anything I said before. That's why you were smiling, right? So just think, what if we feared the God who is in control more than these other things that we can't control? We would be transformed. But Monday to Friday, too often, we don't think that way. We forget about God. We put God in our Sunday box, and then we live as orphans thinking, hey, I'm on my own. I've got to figure this all out by myself. Well, God's really not interested in the stuff that I do for my job. Nonsense. But that's a lie that we believe. And then we succumb to fear. But one simple step can free us from fear forever. I want you to see an example of this in the Bible. Told you to turn to the book of Isaiah. We'll be in chapter 8. Now, Isaiah is one of the prophets of the Old Testament. He was a messenger from God to the people. At the time, God's people, for the most part, were not doing real well. They were kind of ignoring God, living their lives on their own, doing whatever they wanted. But then what happened is the global power at the time, Assyria. And Assyria had some pretty bad habits of what they would do with their prisoners and the people they went against in war, struck terror into the hearts of the people. Assyria had gone and attacked the northern neighbor, which was the state, the 10 northern 12 tribes of Israel. And God's people, the nation of Judah, were terrified. So they said, look, this is really bad news. We've got to come up with another plan. Now, when you think of these old countries, you kind of think, ah, that's history. It's irrelevant. But imagine today. You imagine if Russia came against Canada. That's pretty much what the people of the day were feeling. And we here in the United States are going, oh, what can we do? Russia is just coming over. They're taking over. They're coming to us next. So God's people became kind of like Chicken Littles, and they started coming up with all these plans. And they thought, we can figure it out. We'll come up with, we'll turn to all these places, and these will help us. We're terrified. But they never went to the right place. In Isaiah chapter 8, this is a message of God, verse 11. For the Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, speaking to Isaiah the prophet, and he warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, don't call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and don't fear what they fear, nor be in dread. He's saying to them, look, you say you're a follower of the God of the universe, then I don't want to see you running around like a Chicken Little. I don't want to see you held captive by all the fears that the world around you has. Verse 13. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So wait a minute. Excuse me, God, here. My northern neighbor is getting invaded by the biggest, baddest power on the earth. They will most likely sweep through, and then they are going to come down to here, and we are toast. And you're just telling me to worship you? Come on, can't you give us a battle strategy? Come on, can't you give us some other alliances? Can't you give us something that I can see? And God just says, don't worry about them. But listen to the way that it says it. Verse 13, but the Lord of hosts. It's almost like God is referring to himself as a military field marshal slash Superman. There are times when God is gentle with us and kind and tender, and we need that. But this is when God says, I am the smash mouth God. No one messes with me. And I want you to fear me and believe that I am who I really am. Honor me as holy. Do what I say. Recognize that I am far different than any of these other idols you or anyone else worships. Fear me and respect me for who I am. One simple step can free us from a life of fear and anxiety, and that's to fear the God of the universe. Sounds kind of contradictory. Wait a minute, I wanted to live free of fear. Well, you will if you fear the God of the universe. Fear of God is a religious term, and it can get thrown around a lot, and it has different connotations. So let's set the record straight on what it really means to fear God. To fear God is to have a reverential awe for him. It's to be the kind of thing that we don't just say, well, God's a part of my life, or we use his name flippantly, or he's a part-time hobby. But it is a reverential awe. This is the God of the universe, and he is infinitely bigger than me. And you know what's amazing? He is infinitely bigger than me. He has to think about the whole world, yet he also has the hairs on my head numbered. He knows everything that I'm going through. He cares about me intimately. That is amazing. He deserves my worship. God is huge, yet he's also right beside me, and he cares about me. And so often we can flip to either extreme. Those who say, oh, God is so transcendent and out there. And yes, that's true, but that's only part of the picture. And you get others who kind of almost think Jesus is my buddy, and well, there's some truth to that. He did call us friends, but he's also much more than that. He deserves our reverential awe. We've got to recognize that he is God and I am not. Fearing God means that we recognize he gets to call the shot. As we sang earlier, we raise our white flags. God, it's you we're following. It is your will, not my will. Lord, what I read in your word, I'm going to follow it and I'll trust you. And then it's resting in the fact that God is in charge. Too often we want to get in charge. We want to say, God, look, I need you for the crisis, but then I got it from here. And God's saying, no, you don't. I've got it. Will you trust me? Will you rest in me? God is not our butler, and he doesn't do our bidding. And he often doesn't explain why certain things happen. He calls us to trust him. But you know, what we fear often indicates what in the core of our being we really worship. What we fear often points to what we worship. If you fear job loss, if you fear your retirement going away, maybe what you really worship is the money and the provision that you think you're responsible for. When in Scripture God says, look, I'm your shepherd, I will provide for your needs. The economy can go down the drain, but I will fall, I will take care of your needs. What we fear often points to what we worship. So how do we fear God when we've got a host of other things we can pick and choose from? Easy example as we think now of heading into the shopping season towards Christmas, it's comparison. Just compare. Should I get the iPhone 6 or should I get the Samsung S5? What's it going to be? Baby stroller, should I get the McLaren or should I get the City Mini? My dishwasher went. Should I get the Whirlpool? Should I get the Maytag? And you just hold them up and you compare them. And you say, well, the iPhone 6 does this, but the Samsung S5, you can drop it in 3 feet of water. Your kids can splash water on it. That didn't matter. Your iPhone 6, well, it'll put you in the Apple little garden here, and you can stay with their products, and you get all their cool. You know, all those things you look at, and you compare. What are you going to go with? And God says, listen, I want you to compare your fears to me. Are you ready to do that? Will you take the comparison challenge? Or are you going to stay wallowing, looking at your fears? Move ahead in the book of Isaiah to chapter 40, and we'll get there in just a few minutes. In Isaiah chapter 40, it's a very similar situation to chapter 8. In chapter 8, the crisis that looked like it was going to happen, God averted it. His people, in a sense, got to stay, but they still kept doing their own thing. And God says, I'm going to have to bring judgment upon you. And so in chapter 39 of Isaiah, he tells them, look, guys, this is the end. You've turned away from me, and so I have to judge you. Now, even in that nation, there were people who said, who were sincerely following the Lord, and they heard, whoa, this is happening to the whole nation. What about us? We're done. We're in trouble. And now is when you would want God to say, okay, look, let me give you three easy ways to get out of here. Let me give you three easy ways to get out of Dodge. Here's your strategy. God didn't do any of that. In Isaiah chapter 40, instead of giving them simple steps, he says this in verse 9. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up a voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Now, admittedly, if I was one of the people living in those days, there would have been a disconnect with me. Wait a minute. No. You don't understand. We are about to lose everything, and God is just saying, here I am. God, why didn't you show up a lot sooner and so we weren't in this crisis in the first place? Think of all the awful things that are going to happen, and you just want us to worship you? God says, yes. Do you really know who is greater, me or your fears? See, too often we spend time just trying to work on little symptoms of a deeper problem. But God wants us to worship him for who he truly is. And to see him for who we are, for who he is. Because when we see God for who he is, that exposes our fears for what they are. Fears also have a way of growing the more you think about it. Maybe if it's your 401k you're worried about and you obsess on that, or maybe it's your job or it's a relationship, but you find the more you think about it, the bigger of an issue it becomes. Fears grow as you think on them. My in-laws used to have a Siberian Husky. Great dog. Now, Siberian Huskies are kind of strong, powerful-looking dogs, and I'm not a dog lover, to be honest with you, okay? And so this kind of very big, strong, powerful dog was at my in-law's house, who, of course, in the early days of our marriage especially, I wanted to give a good impression of myself, so I had to act kind of brave around this thing. But this Siberian Husky also had the temperament of Tigger in Winnie the Pooh, okay? So it wasn't like a Siberian Husky that would kind of stay over there and let you walk around and ignore you. It was like Tigger's wonderful things, and the wonderful thing about Tigger's is Tigger's wonderful things, and he'd bounce all over you. And if you're not a dog lover, it's kind of unnerving. And so I was on edge. You know, there's a little bit of that kind of fear in there driving you about, whoa, where is he going to be coming from? But you know what changed everything? One day, my father-in-law had to give him a bath outside. And he turned the hose on this Siberian husky. And it was the most wonderful thing. He's all hair. He is just a bag of bones and all hair. He's not that big and bad after all. And it's when you see God for who he is, you look at the things that you fear, they're just bags of bones. You don't have to fear them. So in Isaiah 40, this is what God is doing. He's saying, I want you to see how big I am. You see, when God is big, our fears subside. But when God is small, fears overwhelm. I want you to just listen to some of the highlights of Isaiah chapter 40. God says, good news, I'm here. I know things don't look good for you, and you're looking at the things all around you, but it's good news, I am here. The sovereign Lord, in verse 10, comes with power. His arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. God is going to make everything right. You know, we live in a fallen world. Rotten things happen. But God says, I am going to make everything right. I am sovereign. I am in charge. I am in control. Those things that you fear, those armies bearing down on you, they are not in control. I am the one in control, and I am working a plan that is bigger and greater than you can imagine. And I invite you into it. That's amazing. And then in Isaiah 40, all God does is say, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you how great I am. And you know, it's well worth our while. I'd even take this chapter and just read over it. Pick it up every once in a while. Remind yourself of who God is. It's just like turning the hose on whatever Siberian husky you're afraid of and showing it to be that bag of bones that it really is. Isaiah chapter 40. Moving through it very quickly. I won't read it verse by verse, but just some of the highlights. Verse 11, we see God takes care of his own. He takes care of his people. He's measured the universe. That's big. He doesn't need our intellectual help. You know, so often we try to tell God the way things ought to be. And I have the joy of having a two, almost three-year-old in my home. And he loves telling me how things ought to be. And with me being a little bit older and wiser than him, I say, no, 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 Ben, you don't quite get it. Just imagine that on our scale. With our limited sphere of knowledge, saying, God, this is the way things ought to be. And God saying, no, 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 no. I'm doing something much bigger. I'm just calling you to trust me. The nations are like a drop in the bucket to him, verses 16 and 17. God is big. God is in control. Nothing else is. Verse 21 to 24. Those fears that we think are in control, they're not. God is. But too often we look at the wrong thing. We focus on the wrong thing. And not only do we focus on the wrong thing, when we focus on the wrong thing, it grows. And God says, it's not that big. God knows each star. He tells it what to do. God holds the universe together. He is everlasting. And his understanding and his patience defy rationale. That's probably one of my favorites. To my shame, I find that I can be impatient with my children when I ask them to do something. And I just think, oh, Lord, I am so glad that you are not impatient with me. His patience and understanding beyond compare. And then he offers his strength and power to all who hope in him. See, here's what it boils down to. The amount of your worry is inversely proportional to the size of your God. If you were living under worry and stress, I would suggest that you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. You have allowed your fears and the thinking of the what ifs to drive you and say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. That's in control. But God is saying, no, no, no. Will you trust me? I am bigger than anything that can come your way. When you fear the God who is in control, you don't have to fear the things that you can't. You have a choice. You can take on the things that you can't control by yourself, or you can face them with the one who is in control. So what do you fear more? Is it your financial situation? Is it your boss? A family situation? Marriage? Maybe your children? Maybe it's terrorism. Maybe it's a global epidemic. We all have those things that gnaw away at us. Sometimes we fight, try to put on a brave front. And other times we go to flight. We just avoid it. But that's no way to live. You want to live with confidence in the midst of chaos? You want to live with confidence when all the things around you are beyond your control? Trust that the one who is in control has your back. So I want you to think, take a moment and think about what is it that worries you? Maybe it's something you haven't even divulged to anyone else. But what is it that gnaws at you? Then I want you to compare it to God. Are you worshiping God for who he truly is? Or are you saying, God, I don't believe you're as big as you say you are. And I'm on my own. Well, that's a tragedy. Because God says he will give us everything we need to face every challenge that we have. And the greatest challenge that all of us have is to be right with God. See, none of us can earn it. We can't do it by ourselves. We will never be good enough for his standard. But God says, world, I love you so much, I will give you a Savior, Jesus, who died on our behalf and then rose again to pay that penalty we owed for our sin. And when he rose again, he offered life to all who will call on him. Why don't you call on him today? For those who've been following him, maybe you've lost track of how big and how great God is. Maybe you've allowed some of those other things to get bigger in your mind's eye than they really are. Why don't you bring them, compare them to God, and then worship God for who he is, asking you to give you the grace to overcome any fears you have. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are greater and bigger and stronger than anything we will face. Lord, as we recognize that there are many things that are way beyond our control, let us, in the same breath, remember that we can turn to you and that you are greater than anything else. Lord, help us to worship you for who you truly are. And Lord, as we worship you for who you truly are, we don't have to fear the future. We don't have to fear 2015. We don't have to fear anything because you are our God and you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen.